Good morning. It is great to see you gathering today and to hear you visiting with neighbors and friends as we come to the house of the Lord this morning. Our call to worship, if you'll join me there, is a wonderful piece of scripture that brings us to a great place to center our focus this morning. Danny, the screen should say, since then. There you go. Thank you, sir. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Good morning to you. I invite you to stand and to greet those seated around you this morning, passing the peace of Christ. This is the first Sunday into the season of Lent, this holy 40 days where we come before the Lord confessing our sin, our sinful nature, our very humanness, asking forgiveness, and in retrospect in lots of ways of knowing what Christ has done for us that we celebrate through this season. We have a very fitting opening hymn this morning. Charles Wesley has to be one of the most Bible knowledgeable hymn writers of all the years of hymn writing. Our hymn this morning, Jesus, Thine All-Victorious Love, Spread in My Heart Abroad, is found in number 422. Join me as we sing. Stating together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
you be seated. As we come in this moment of prayer and humbling ourselves before God's throne of mercy as the family of God to come and pray on behalf of each other and for our world and our nation, we want to give God a few praise reports here in our own church family and our congregation. Mr. Scott Berry is finally home and he is healing and recovering, and we want to pray that that healing and recovery will continue for him and that we will see his wife and family back soon. Mr. Scott Patterson underwent a procedure on last week and he is here with us, and we want to give God praise for that. Pastor Beal say they found him making coffee this morning. What a testimony. It's so good to see you, Mr. Scott. And it's so good to have you back, Mike, and seeing that you were doing well also. God is good. And Shalynn Poole is home, and she is also recovering and doing well. So we want to have our continued prayers go out to she and Philip and their family as she continues to recover. We give God praise for all of you being here and being with us on this morning. And now let us bow our heads and go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious God, we thank you for our church family. We thank you for your hand of miraculous healing. We thank you for your hand of provision. We thank you for the gathering that has brought us back to praise and worship and fellowship your name one more time on this blessed day that you have given us that has purpose and value to do the work that you have given us to do on this kingdom. As we come before your throne of grace and mercy on this morning, open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes, and open our minds to receive the word that will come from our pastor, to hear the praise and worship that will come from our choir, and to have humble hearts to hear the prayers of our neighbors on this morning. As we come before you this morning, most gracious and heavenly Father, how amazing is your love for each of us, a sinner's plea. How gracious is your hand of mercy in our most undeserving hour, and how plentiful is your anointing to the disgraced parts of our lives. We stand before you in awe of how worthy you see us, and in this season of Lent, we pray you that we will see ourselves the way that you see us, healed, redeemed, loved, cared for, and worthy. We live in a world where we claim to have faith, but we also demonstrate so much unbelief in the power of your words. Faithful God, help our unbelief and heal our doubt. Let us rediscover the joy of living for you, the undying hope of your provision, and the confidence that even if our prayers are not answered the way we desire, your will is still being done, and to you are all honor and all praise. Bless us as we bless others through the power of praying the way you have taught us all to pray, praying these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. At this time, we will invite our children to come forward for Children's Moment with me this Sunday. Come on down, children. I see some children. Don't be afraid. Come on down. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, I like this crowd that's coming down this morning. Amazing. Amen. Hello. It's great to be here with you all this morning. Well, today in Big Church, we are going to be talking about faith. Now, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to scream your outside voices. Can you say that really loud with me on the count of three, the word faith? One, two, three.
Faith!
Faith! That was amazing, guys! That was so amazing! We're going to be talking about faith today. And to demonstrate faith today, I want to tell you guys a little story. So on the weekend, this is my favorite jelly. It's a red plum jelly. You guys see that? It is my absolute favorite jelly. So sometimes on the weekends, I'll wake up really early and I'll make me some homemade biscuits from my grandmama's recipe. Well, a couple weeks ago, I woke up and I made my biscuits and I couldn't open my jelly. I can't have a plain biscuit. I gotta have jelly on my biscuit. But I didn't have the strength to open my jelly. So I said, that's okay. I'll save my jelly. I'll eat my biscuit without the jelly and a lot of butter. And I'll come back next weekend. I'll exercise my hands. And maybe I can open my jar of jelly and put it on my biscuit again. Well, I still didn't get to open my jar. It was still too heavy. But you know what it made me think about? That's what faith is. Faith is a spiritual muscle that we exercise. And the more we exercise that spiritual muscle of faith, the stronger we get in God. With our faith, in our faith, we lean on God and we depend on God for our strength. And you know what it looks like? Look at this, guys. You know what it looks like? I opened it. You see my jelly? It smells good. It smells good, right? You see? It does, right? And it's really good and it's really sweet. So I opened the jar, but that's very symbolic of our faith. When we put our faith in God, we can do all things through God who strengthens us. Let me see your spiritual muscles, guys. All things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So let's get our praying hands together so we can make our faith stronger before we go to children's church. Ready? Let's pray. Amen. I love your strength, your muscles. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you asking that each and every day you make our strength stronger and make our faith stronger in you, dear Lord, so that we can praise you with everything that we do. In Christ's name we pray, let us all say amen. Amen. Have a good children's church, children. Thank you for coming.
As the ushers come, let us prepare our hearts for the offering today. Somehow I feel a little hungry right now. I don't know about you guys. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for all the blessings that we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We acknowledge that this day. We pray we will be faithful in returning as good stewards that which already belongs to you, God. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. All that we have comes from you. So, Lord, let us return back to you. Our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, that you may bless them and use them. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
remain standing as we turn now to the Holy Word of God. This scripture today is Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. And when they came back to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you disputing with them?" And one person from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son because he has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. And I told your disciples so they would cast it out, but they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw him into convulsions. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." But Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying that, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing him into the terrible convulsions, it came out and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began asking him privately, "Why is it that we could not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out but by anything except prayer." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Folks, we've heard about biscuits and jelly, and then we had a wonderful choral anthem. Wow. It's been good this morning. I hope this is not a letdown for you after that, okay? Remember last week, we talked about the parallel of Jesus in the Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah being up on the mountain with him and explanation of why they were there. And then one of the parallels we drew was whenever they came back down from the mountain as Moses and the children of Israel made the golden calf, Elijah, of course, facing Jezebel. And here Jesus is coming down from this glorious mountaintop experience of transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And here is a dilemma, a disappointment right after that glorious experience. They came down the mountain to encounter, we may call it a dilemma, a debacle, however you may describe it. I was reminded of that old gospel song, no matter how far we are on the mountain and the glorious experiences that we have, there's one more valley, one more hill, one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go. Jesus was experienced that here as the other disciples as well. And as you look at the unfolding of this, there's a lot of things happening in this story. But I think the theme that is woven through this story and why the gospel writers included it in particular is that it is a story about faith and faith on different levels. We see the faith of the disciples here. We see the faith or lack of faith from the religious leaders, the scribes here. We see the faith of the father of this boy. And what about the boy himself who was struggling mightily here? In all these incidents, people are in different stages or categories or experiences of faith or lack of faith or battling a mixture of faith and uncertainty. And today we're focused more upon the father of this young boy and the statement that he made, "I believe, help my unbelief." Now, to reinforce that, I want us to repeat that today. So say that with me. "I believe, help my unbelief." I believe, help my unbelief. I think we can all identify with that statement at different points in our lives. maybe for some of us, even now, with some things we may be facing. We're entering into this Lenten season as we passed Ash Wednesday, and we're utilizing for this sermon series a text written by Magre de Vega entitled Embracing the Uncertain. And certainly, there is uncertainty within the church, in our personal lives. There's no word in the original language with this statement between I believe and help my unbelief. It causes us to wonder about the reality of that statement and what it really means. And in his text on this, De Vega suggests first that we put the word however in between those statements. It would read like, I believe, however, help my unbelief. And again, this is an addition to the text, getting to a greater meaning or understanding with what the Father's really saying here. And if you insert however there, it indicates that the Father was stating that he believed, however, or but, which is a strong contrast, he had some question or doubt in his mind about whether or not Jesus could heal his son. And that doubt was probably reinforced by the failure of Jesus' disciples. And that's the subpoint in this story today. It poses the reality that as disciples, we can become obstacles to faith rather than bridges to faith. We can become a hindrance to faith rather than a help in bringing others to faith in Christ. Their actions became a barrier, not a bridge. Our actions can become barriers and not bridges to help others come to faith as well, as we witness. The subpoint in the story here. But to the main part of this, it is suggested that the Father was experiencing honest doubt, what we refer to as honest doubt about the situation, was mixed in his thoughts concerning whether or not his son could be healed. And as we think about this and seek application in our own lives, the mixture of events in our lives give rise to questions at times, questions that we may not be able to answer exactly, or at least provide an answer that is satisfying or fulfilling or bringing closure. More personally, in real life events, we experience suffering and tragedy, grief and loss. We experience events that shock us and wound us at times. And when things do not turn out the way we think they should or expect or way we hope they would, that injury and wound can create real questions in life about the purpose and meaning of why things happen as they do. It's a question of theodicy, theologically. Why, O Lord, are these things happening? In this case, if we read this, I believe, however, help my unbelief. It would pose opposite positions between belief versus unbelief, certainty versus doubt. So you either believe or you do not believe, and there is no room for uncertainty if you interpret that in this way. The Father would be affirming his faith on the one hand and yet confessing his lack of faith on the other hand in his own shortcomings. I believe, however, help my unbelief. I think many may be in this mixed status. De Vega then suggests, however, that we put the word therefore in between these two statements. And it would read, I believe, therefore, help my unbelief. And if we put that statement, therefore, in there, it would not pose that faith and doubt are mutually exclusive, but faith and doubt can coexist even as light creates shadows of our body images. I think De Vega makes a great statement here. He says, faith is not the absence of doubt, but the embrace of it and ultimately the transformation of it. Likewise, courage is not the elimination of fear, but the regular interaction with it and the conscious choice against it. also thought about the old statement attributed to John Wayne. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Or maybe like Abraham, who went through a real test of faith in Genesis 22 when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the scripture says that Abraham saddled his donkey and went toward the place of sacrifice. Well, let me emphasize here that our faith is central, as we know, in our Christian faith. It's central to our salvation. It's central to the appropriation or bringing into our own experience God's work in our lives. As a matter of fact, Hebrews tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As you look at the Gospels, other places in the Gospels, you'll find that faith is preeminent there as well. Jesus commended or praised people because of their faith. Let me give you a few examples. The first recorded instance of Jesus saying, "Your faith has made you well," again, faith, appropriating the healing here, is found in Matthew 9:22, where Jesus heals the woman with the issue of blood. King James Version translates Jesus' words as, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the NIV says, "Your faith has healed you." The same incident is also recorded in Mark 5:34, where Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus also says, "Your faith has made you well," to a leper that he healed in Luke 17, and a blind beggar in Luke 18. Both instances indicate that faith was instrumental in their healing. Now, I want to be very careful here not to suggest that a lack of healing is equated to a lack of faith. I've too often seen situations where a person may not be healed and then made to feel guilty on top or blamed for their lack of faith because of their lack of healing. It's important to mention this here. I love this statement that I found from one of the resources here that I wanted to put before you because I thought it was an appropriate quote here as well. "The value of one's faith does not come from the one who expresses it, but the object in which it rests. Our faith is only as good as the person or subject we're trusting in." Ultimately, healing is not contingent upon the quality of one's faith, but upon the healer. All healing comes from God. We may say it can be appropriated through faith, but ultimately it is God's sovereign action for that healing to take place. And that certainly seems to be the case here in this story. I think the other thing to notice here in this text is that Jesus came down from the mountain and then he asked what they were fussing about or what they were arguing about or what they were debating about. And I think it's important to note here that disciples did not say anything. It was crickets here for them. It was the boy's father who came forward and explained what had happened. And I'm inclined to believe that although the text is silent here and it doesn't really tell us, that the disciples were perhaps embarrassed or disappointed or reluctant to share what had happened because they did not want to admit their failure. This is like the little boy who asked his father if he could read in the dark. "Well, it depends," his father said. "Why are you asking?" He said, "Well, turn out the lights and look at my grade card from school today." He really didn't want him to see the grades. And in this instance, I think the disciples were trying to cover over their mistake, not wanting to admit their failure or wanting Jesus really to see it. But I think that is why here, as you see Jesus, he's very upset. Even to the point we might say he's angry. And as you look at this scene, you will know that Jesus is angry, quite upset with what he says at the disciples' lack of faith. Here is not the gentle shepherd, meek and mild. This is more like the Marine Corps drill sergeant barking out, "You faithless generation, you unbelieving generation, how long must I be with you? until you believe? How long must I be patient with you? One translation says, bring the boy to me. I was reminded of the scripture which says, to whom much is given, much is required. And it seems very evident here that Jesus was holding the disciples to a higher level of expectation. They had been with him. They had watched him. They had learned from him. And yet, here, they failed. And their failure brought many questions to the Jewish leaders as well as to this boy's father. They failed at the point to bring doubt and uncertainty in the minds of others. But let's contrast that for a moment, the faith in the disciples, to the father again. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You notice that Jesus does not condemn or bring judgments to the or judgment on the statement of the Father. He does answer the if question. If you can do anything, have pity on us. Jesus said, if all things are possible to those who believe. But I find it quite interesting that Jesus responded to the Father despite his mixture of faith and uncertainty with no judgment. While he praised others for their faith, in this instance he made no comment or judgment, but simply was moved with compassion and healed this young boy. We may question the faith and motivation from the Father, but whatever the case may have been, Jesus knew his heart and acted to heal his son. Jesus did not perform a quality check of faith, but met this father at the point of his need and brought healing to his son. I was reminded of the classic old invitational hymn, Just As I Am. We've heard it so many times. Just as I am. It contains some very captivating lines. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. It captures the honest and open but yielded heart of a person coming to Christ, although they may have many mixed emotions and thoughts. Crying out, God, I'm in a real mess in my life. I don't know which direction to take. I don't know exactly what to do. But if you can do anything, help me. The father was simply calling out to Christ to heal his son. His faith may have been mixed and uncertain. He had many doubts of what might happen. And he was in humility acknowledging his uncertainty, even in the midst of what he believed. And Jesus acted to restore his son. De Vega writes in his book again, when we are at our most vulnerable, at the point of acknowledging our deepest tensions, we need neither be judged or praised. We can simply be transformed, brought to maturity that neither ignores nor condemns uncertainty, but embraces it for its benefit. Along these same lines, one last thing I would mention, that I mentioned earlier, the boy who was healed. What about his faith? He seemed incapable of responding in faith. It doesn't remove the importance of faith, as we see with the disciples and the young boy's father. However, it poses the reality of God's grace operating even beyond our capability to believe. God can and does act sovereignly even beyond those moments when we might be seeking after God or truly believing. Wesley called it prevenient grace. It reinforces the spiritual truth that in each of our lives, God is seeking us long before we are ever seeking God. God is moving and acting in our lives long before we ever come to the point of what we might call saving faith. One of my favorite lines in the movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, I showed this clip before, and some of you remember the book and also the movie starring Jim Caviezel. Caviezel's character is one who's been unjustly put in prison in the Bastille, and there he meets a priest. And this scene has some very powerful lessons, one of which is not to seek revenge, as it reads in the caption. But the line in this movie also captures the theme today that would be along the same lines of, I believe, help my unbelief. I hope we can show the clip next.
Don't talk.
Not much time. Unless those books, those loose rocks, bring me what you find. Quickly, quickly. Oh, Oberlin. When I told them I did not know what the treasure of Sparta was, I lied.
You lied?
I'm a priest, not a saint. Bill. On their island off the Italian coast.
Monte Cristo?
Yes. Use. Use your head. Follow the clue.
The tunnel's blocked. I can't escape.
Keep digging. When you escape, use it for good. Only for good.
No, I will surely use it for my revenge.
You know, it's your final lesson. Do not commit. Do not commit the crime for which you know serve the sentence. God said, vengeance is mine.
I don't believe in God.
It doesn't matter. He believes in you.
Priest.
Caviezel's character said, I don't believe. And the priest said, God still believes in you. As we come to think about our own faith today, I think we'll find ourselves somewhere in the story. Maybe like the disciples who failed because they were counting on their own abilities, not relying upon the Lord, not engaging in prayer, fasting as they should. Maybe we might be like the father who was conflicted and confused, desperately wanting God to act on behalf of his son. He believed, but he wanted God to help his unbelief to become more certain in his faith, and to overcome his uncertainty and his doubt. I think there was an honest, open calling on God to help him and to help his faith be stronger. Maybe some of us are in that situation today. Or maybe we might be like this young boy. We're so overcome by our circumstances and our difficulties that we may not even be able to respond in faith. But God is working to bring about faith in you, meeting you right where you are, right at the point of your need. We've all been in places and different situations where we may say we've been in this state of faith, but wherever you may be, God longs to meet you where you are for whatever need you may have, or simply to confess, I need a deeper faith. I believe. Help my unbelief. Let us pray. Lord, we are all in different places today as we come through these sanctuary doors. Each of us, God, may be in different experiences, and we are in different experiences of faith in our own lives. We pray as we come to these moments that your Holy Spirit would help direct us about our own faith journey and where we may be. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, even with the cry of this Father, we believe, help our unbelief. Bring us all to greater and greater levels of faith as we commit ourselves to you, and even as we would recommit ourselves to you, as some may need to do today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close the service today, the altar is always open as a place of prayer for any need that you may have in your life today, or even as you may be where this Father was. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Fightings and fears within, without, with many a conflict, many a doubt. O Lamb of God, I come.
Our hymn of response this morning is found at number 430. I invite you to stand as we sing together, O Master, Let Me Walk.
is good. And we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit here as we pray together for just a moment. Amen, amen, and amen. As we part from this place, we've received a wonderful word from God. We've received structure on the faith that's been preached before God's word, and we've seen witness to the miracles that God is still performing in our church family, in our communities, and above. As we part from this place, a few announcements we want to keep you aware of. As we come into this Lenten season, we want you to know that we want to have you here to join us for Holy Week. Our dates and our times for our Holy Week and Easter services are in the calendar, and we invite you to come in this time of prayer, Lenten season, and Easter celebration as we give God total praise in this time of holiness. Our Agape Hands puppet team, which is a very vital ministry here in our church, will have their spring program on April 28th at 4 p.m., so please include that in your calendar and bring out your family and friends. And as far away as it may seem, it is right up on us. VBS registration is here, and we invite you to see the dates and the times for family night and our vacation Bible school for the month of June. As we part from this place, may our faith be emboldened and strengthened, and may God continue to help our unbelief as we walk forward in the belief that He has in each of us. Go in the peace and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, and until we meet again, my friends, shalom and the peace of God be with you.